We've got to cry out to God for things. Don't just think things. We need to cry out for things to him. He hears, oh my gosh, he hears us. He loves us. He loves our country. You know, we are a dry land, actually, Australia, but it's super dry at the moment. So here we go. You know how we celebrate Father's Day, Mother's Day? What are some other things that we celebrate? Easter? Birthdays, right. Well, who knows, there was a celebration this past week. I feel a bit crowded in here, but anyway. You know, I'm like, I flap around. This week there was a celebration all week from the 8th to today. So who knows what that was? Who? Teacher's Day. Well, that probably was. I don't know. We've got nobody in school, so I don't know about that one. Are you okay day? Which day was that? Oh, are you okay day? That's a good one. No, didn't hear that one either. But doesn't look like you've heard the one I've heard about. It's celebration of marriage day. Or week. It was for a week. Celebrating marriages. No, you all haven't caught up with it. Well, actually, a friend told me about it. Unless you're filing through certain things, you don't see these things. And I didn't hear it anywhere. I didn't see it in the newspapers. But have a guess what? I think God wants us to talk about it. Marriage Day. I want to celebrate and honour marriage. Just that word, marriage, sets us up for a whole lot of things these days. Not like the old days where there wasn't so much complication. But there are, and I have got, how do I explain it? I want us to understand that what is being attacked in our nation and across the world is God's origins. And I'm not going to go into all of God's origins, but marriage is one of his origins. And if the way we can know what that origin is by the Bible. If we don't know what God says, we're open to a whole lot of things. You know, like James says, we can get tossed and swung around in the waves because we don't actually know what God said originally. Because we think as human beings that we can just come and change things all around. And that's not the case. But that is what's trying to happen. And I feel like we need to be careful ourselves that we don't get caught up in the beliefs or the spirit of the age, which is what we hear on the television. We read about it. It's everywhere. Scrolling through your phone, everywhere is these different points of view that are coming up and look like they're said with such authority. And they fight for them. Well, I feel like God is saying, rise up, my people, and fight for my origins. Declare my truth about these things. Don't just sit there. There is things that we need to stand up for. God wants to, he knows the best for us. He's got the best for us. It's here. The plans are there. So I feel like God is just alerting something. I feel like he wants it to be said into the airwaves. You know the story, you know that little story that they talk about the frog. You pop the frog in the cold water. Now the frog has the capacity to jump out of water, but he doesn't realise there's a problem because it's slowly getting hot and hotter and hotter, and by the time it's boiling, he's dead. He didn't know early enough. He wasn't alert. Right? I feel like God wants us to be alert. I can remember David's mother. She used to say, oh, you know, and I used to give her no time with this particular comment. She said, oh, you know, it'll get to the stage where nobody even knows what the Bible says, or they don't believe it, or they want to change it. And she said, and it may be even difficult to publicly declare God's word. And she used to say, hide God's word in your heart. Right? So that's it. We need to know what it says and hide it. Not hide it, but have it working within us. So what does God say about marriage? So because we're talking about an origin, we've got to go back to the origin. That's it, the beginning. So we're starting in Genesis 1. Okay, here we go. Then God said, let us. Now, these are the most intriguing verses because it's God speaking and he says, let us. What's that? That's plural. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Wow. Then he says in 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. Wow, there's a lot to get our head around there. How come God is saying that it is us and our? Because he is a triune God. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So it was God in his fullness, in his totalityness. Don't worry, I make up words as I go along. He declared that there was going to be a creation. And he was going to create it, and it was going to be male and female he created. So in one person, he made male and female. God is a community God. God is a relational God. We have been made out of a relational God's heart. So we are made for relationships. We're not meant to do life by ourselves. We were made in his likeness. We've got his DNA. God didn't make us solitary individuals. He made us, he made Adam two in one. That was bonus. Two in one. You know, the shops think that's good. Do you know what? Oh, wait a minute, I've gone too far. Here we go. So let's go to chapter 2 in Genesis. The Lord said, it is not good for a man to be alone. Now, in between that last verse and this verse, Adam had been given the authority to dominate, to have the dominion over the world and over the animals, etc. And he'd been naming all the animals, but he didn't find anybody, anything that did it. There was no compatibility. They were animals. They had no spirit. They had no soul. And so, they weren't doing it, right? So God said, it's not good for you to be alone, Adam. I'm going to give you a helper. That seems to indicate that Adam needed more than what was formed. God was continuing to bring forth his origin. So he said he'll make him a helper that would be comparable, which means complementary. Adam needed help for what? For daily work, procreation, mutual support through companionship. Yeah, he needed a bit of help. So God continued on his creating, and he made Adam and someone else. So Genesis 2, 21, 23. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. He mightn't have even been snoring, it was so deep. And he slept. And God took out one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. It's amazing the detail that God put places in the Bible. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken man, he made into a woman. Woo. And he brought her to the man, which was Adam. And Adam was absolutely blown away. He was excited. There wasn't much choice, I must admit. But nevertheless, there was something that attracted Adam. Why? Because it came out of him. It was part of who he was. This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she has been taken out of man. So he was totally excited. He was chuffed. God created two in one. That was Adam. God separated the one and made two. So the two could become one in marriage. Verse 22 says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Right? So God has created us so that in every way we become one. And when God finished each part of the creation in the 6 and 7 days, he said it was good. But when I used to teach scripture, I used to say to the kids, it's not just good, it's wonderful. And that's what we should feel. It's wonderful what God's done. We forget because we don't very often go back to the origin. It is an amazing plan of God that he brought forth for our good, so we can live life to the full and not be lonely. I want to celebrate marriage and I want to honour it today. But as we know, Adam and Eve's journey, it didn't take long before it was on Struggle Street. We know the story. It was very quick when they started to have a struggle. Do you know what? There's one person who's totally against marriage. Who's that? The devil. He hates it. Why does he hate it? Because it represents strength. Two people together as one are better than one person, because that's how God worked it. So he said that's one thing. He also says that marriage represents his church, and the church is absolutely in the center of God's heart. He loves his church, and so it represents it, and God wants it to do that. And I tell you what, Satan, if he can shatter a marriage, if he gets onto me, just as an individual, that's one thing. But if he shatters a marriage, he can shatter and touch and affect generation after generation after generation. I read, as you know, I like the Saturday papers, and in this magazine is an article about a man called Warwick Smith, Mr. China, they call him. But he's 65 now, but he works closely with politicians. He's not actually in politics now, he was. But listen to this. He was the eldest of three children born into a wool processing family in Launceston. He and his siblings were sent to boarding school from a young age. Smith was 9 when he and his young brother, Quinton, were called in by the headmaster in 1963 to be told their father, Andrew, had died at the age of 51. They soon learnt he had taken his own life due to the stress of business worries. Once the largest employer in Tasmania, the family firm was suffering from a downturn. As young Warwick knew full well, this was the same path taken by his grandfather, Leslie William Smith, who suffered depression after a business dispute and also took his own life at 52. Soon after his father's death, his mother moved to the US, leaving her three children in Australia. The three of us grew up in boarding school and stayed with different families. Blah, blah. I'd like to say that's been broken. He's been married for 44 years, this man. But things can come in and shatter and go down the generational line. And that is what Satan's up to. If he can do it, He will. Can I have my phone, please, darling? I just want to show you, I'm not really big on this. Thanks. But I want to show you some statistics, read out some statistics. Oh, gosh. You can tell I'm not technical either. In 2017, there were 112,954 marriages. There were 40,032 divorces in Australia. The number of divorces is 2 per 1,000. The divorce rate was increased by 5.2% from 2016 to 2017. The average marriage is 12 years. Okay. Let me see, there's something else. But then in the next year, it was less. Like the statistics had gone down, right? So why was that? It was because less people are getting married to start with. More couples are cohabitating before marriage. And the average marriage age has increased to it's about 32 age, whatever it is. So and I don't know we're 18 and 19 now, we're in 2019. So those statistics keep changing. But it's not, for me, it's not improving. There are still a long way to go, and we're not going to give Satan the upper hand. That's what I say. The devil will attack us. Where does he attack us? He attacks us in our mind. He exaggerates our partner's failures and inadequacies. I know. He sows suspicion and jealousy. He indulges in, us in self-pity. Everything's terrible, I think I'll go and eat some worms. It's so bad. Insist that you deserve something better. Hold out the hollow promise that things will be better with somebody else. We've got to stare this down. My encouragement to us is to stare it down and say, no, out, 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 you liar. God says, take captive every thought that's not from God and cry out to God to give you ideas and inspiration that comes from heaven that can help that particular situation that you're facing. Because the mind of Christ is for marriages. It is for marriages. I remember when I got married, I was so excited, so full of love. David was the apple of my eye. I couldn't get my eyes off him. Came down the aisle. I could have fallen over anything else because all I could think and see was David. But you know what? When I was down there at that altar, I there was something that was going through my head. I thought, I am making a decision for my life. I am drawing a line in the sand right now, and I am going to be a stayer. Bad luck, David. I'm going to stay. You're not going to get rid of me very easily. So sometimes we haven't done that. Sometimes we make a bit of a, some spaces to get in and out of things. But no, I think we've got to make some even now. Doesn't matter where we are at, whichever situation you're in. So what's a husband called to do? Well, here we go. He is called to love. Oh no, this is husband and wife. This is the mutual one. This is together. We've got to love each other mutually. We both have different roles and functions, so we don't have to be the same. That would be impossible. David and myself are so different. I don't know how God works it out, but he loves doing that. But that doesn't mean to say that we're not equal and that we need to live in unity. So that's the combination things. Now, the husband, what's the husband do? What's he have to do? Ephesians 2:5, 22 to 33. He's got to love her. So that's the big thing for the husband. He has to love his wife. He has to protect her, listen to her concerns, take care of her, provide for her, be sensitive to her needs and her hurts. Because it says he has to love us as he loves himself. That's what the Bible says. But the wives aren't asked to love. Exactly. It doesn't use that word. It uses respect. Right? And we are called to respect our husbands. Acknowledge his calling as the head of the home. Respond to his leadership. Now, this is all up for grabs at the moment because of the women's lib. I used to call it the women's lib. They call it something else now, don't they? But where we rise up and we say, we're the boss, we're the head, we're the controller. That is cutting across the origin because God says, girls, we need to let our husband have his position. Respond to his leadership. You know, I get challenged by this. You can see what sort of person I am. I've got an opinion on every jolly thing. And, you know, I have to keep remembering this. I have to keep following. I have to keep listening to David. And I need to praise him and acknowledge what God has given him. And we need to be unified in purpose. You know, if we're all the time against the government, you know, all the time against anything that's suggested, you know, it just causes this rift and pulling apart. We need to be a true helper. We're called to be a helper. Well, us girls think, well, you know, we're getting used. But actually, it's the change of heart. It's the attitude of the heart, right? Things that we hear out there can affect our hearts. And God says, come back to me. I say, be a true helper. Meet his needs happily, willingly, and not without resentment. Don't disempower him. I see this, where we can disempower our man and displace him by slipping into the position ourselves. We sort of hop in there, and then the man doesn't know where he is supposed to be, where his position is, the head of the home. He is the God-hearted leader of our home. But if we keep stepping into that space, it causes friction and it's not effective. Silence is a deadly one, you know. We say, oh, I'll just keep quiet. But do you know what? You're not keeping quiet. You're actually shouting silently. And that's another one that causes impasse. And independence is another one, and control. These are all things that can come in and totally decimate what God says was amazing. Marriage isn't easy. I mean, I didn't see where God said it was going to be easy because Adam and Eve, they were challenged immediately. Old Eve, she snuck up into that position and she called the shots. But of course Adam followed. But that wasn't the plan of God. That wasn't in his heart. But it is the pressure we live in. And so I'm going to give you a few tips for your marriage. We've been married for 37 and a half years. Is that right, Dar? Or 36 and a half? Oh, I get muddled with this. Always trying to get to 37. But at any rate, we'll get there. But 36 and a half. Right. So here's a few tips, which I have to keep working at. So I'm not trying to say I'm a saint here, but I am trying to ignite the truth, the core of what marriage is, and that we can do it. It is in our best interest. It's an amazing thing. Right. Keep your marriage exciting and edgy. Don't get a couch potato. No, no. You want to keep it exciting and edgy. Date nights. Have you had a date night in your diary recently? Well, it's about time you did. What about So even things like, you know, I was asked to, we had said we'd go on Friday night to this party, and then I've been asked to go to a breakfast at some other church. And so I said to David, what do you think? And he said, well, that leaves us no time whatsoever, you know. So I had to make a decision. I actually wouldn't have mind going to that breakfast, but I needed to put and prioritise our time. So that's a really important one, because we can fill our lives up with so much stuff and we wonder why we're sort of a bit disconnected. So watch the gauge of your marriage. You know, you watch the gauge of your car, make sure it's got petrol. I mean, you don't go far without your old petrol, etc. We need to watch those gauges. What's the intimacy like? You know, are you avoiding it like the plague, or it's just not happening? What about busyness? That's another one. We can be so busy that we hardly see each other, or we make appointments, which means that we're both out at different times. And that makes you feel like everybody else is more important. That's not a good one. Sea otters, I've read this. Sea otters, they lay on their back in the water. They're the cutest little things. They lay on their backs in the water and they hold each other's little, I don't know what you call them, flappers or paws or something. But paws. And they, whatever it is, they hold and hold each other. So they do not drift apart. Right. I was watching, I don't know whether you've watched that program of oldies and kids together. There's a program they're doing at the moment where they're letting children into an old people's home. And it's so cute. It's beautiful, actually. But at any rate, there was an old guy there and he says, oh, yeah. He says, I was married. He says, I was married and had three children. But you know what? We just drifted apart. And then he said, oh, I got married again. But he said, you know, we just drifted apart. I'm thinking, there's just something that rises up in me. No. All these things will help us not drift apart. It can happen. It's possible, very possible. But there's things we can do that will bring us back together, will keep us connected. Communication is a huge one. Communication, over-communication, you've just got to keep communicating. Now, have a guess what? There's a problem that arises, and that is if you're an internal processor. Oh, you might be married to an internal processor. And I'm an external processor. I want to talk about every mortal thing. But I've had to learn. There's a time when you zip it. Because I can tell David will get a glazed look over his eyes. I think, right, he's not listening to the thing I'm saying. And that doesn't do it. Doesn't do it. I need, you know, plenty of eyeball attention. So we have to understand each other and give leeway, give some margin around how God has made each other. Love languages is another thing that's good to understand. What's love languages? There's certain ways that you will feel loved more than other ways. So I'll tell you what they are. Quality time, touch, acts of service, gifts, and words of affirmation. I'm just using David and myself as the example to help you understand. So David is, when we were first married, I didn't understand any of that. When we were first married, I used to think, oh my gosh, what in the heck? I called him Mr. Sweeperman. I used to call him Mr. Sweeperman. He was always sweeping the floor. I didn't want the floor swept. I thought it was totally unnecessary to sweep the floor. And the other thing he used to do is wash the car. Always washing the jolly car. And I'm thinking, gee, if he could purr over me and love over me and chamois me, and you know what I mean? I'm just being honest. This is what goes through our heads. And when we discovered quality love languages, it made all the difference to our relationship. Because David would say to me, darling, I wash the car because I love you. And I think, how ridiculous. How could that possibly be? I'm in here and you're out there. But he is acts of service. And he shows love by doing things, right? I feel loved by him having a great conversation. I'm quality time. So we had to work, you have to work these things out. Otherwise, you keep coming against a wall. It's very important. guys and girls, we need to keep looking at these things. And so David says, all right, or we decided that we would gift to each other each other's love language. So David will say, come on, Dale. Like yesterday, we couldn't do anything. We were, I won't go into it. But anyway, so we've made a date for this afternoon. I'm so excited. We're going out together. We might even go to the beach or, you know. I get excited about things. You need to have things that excite you because you feel loved. Because I will have David's time. You know, we will be connecting. And he'll say to me, oh, come and have a coffee. So that's, I don't need heaps, but I mean, half an hour will do it. But as long as I get half an hour, and if we sit on a bench looking out, that doesn't do it. It's got to be eyeballing. It's got to be we're actually connecting, we're interested in what each other is saying. And I need to keep a very tidy house, which I fall short of. At any rate, we have worked out how we can express and how we can make it, bring it back into centre line if it's got a bit jaded. Okay, how are we going? Got some tips? For some of us, I know our marriage experience has been difficult. But God is in the business of regenerating. He's in the business of bringing back. He's in the business of healing. And I believe sometimes to start again can be overwhelming. And there can be fear sometimes. And we think, oh no, couldn't go there again. I'll just stop in the space of love. You see, when we were going together, when we were courting, which was only for 3 months, I mean, we met in a Bible school where we weren't supposed to have a relationship for 2 years. And then, so as soon as we got out there, we had graduation. And the next thing, we were engaged in about we were married in 3 months or something. So that part of it wasn't so long. But you know what it's like for those who have been through that experience. You love each other. Right? But that's only the beginning. That's not all God had for us. He wants us to step, because sometimes they say, oh, that bit of paper with marriage, we don't have to go for that. It's not that special, not that important. Yes, it is. It's very important because it says that we don't just love, but we are going to be committed and we are going to be responsible. And that is the place God wants our marriage love to be, in that marriage place. And I know that a lot of healing takes place within the marriage. We think we can do it all outside the marriage, but I'm calling you into that marriage place and let God show up in that space, because he totally will. And we can't do this ourselves, winding ourselves up into by willpower and by resolve. We can't. We need God. People say, oh, you got a good marriage. It takes work. It takes concentration. As soon as we lose concentration, something happens. God wants us to. It's God, marriage, children. Don't even let children come in the place between our marriage, between our, as a couple. It is very important in God's heart that we look after our marriage and that He will help us. He says He takes hold of our right hand and He is our personal helper. God's plan is for marriage. God's heart is within marriage. And I know that the blessing flows when we do it God's way. It's an origin. It's the place that God started out with, put it in place. And he says, if you're married, keep it healthy. Put those pearls of ideas up your sleeve. Pull them out when you need them. If you're not, maybe there's a possibility. Maybe God has got something on the horizon. Maybe you need to step into that marriage space and do it God's way, because there's protection, there is health, there is fulfillment, there's not that same element of backdoor. And I believe we can change the statistics. We can change when we follow how God has it in his heart. So God, I pray for every single person, whatever place they're in, whatever circumstance, whatever the past story of their journey has been, I just pray that you will help us be excited about all over again the origin of marriage, that it is your way, it is your heart, it is the way that you know that we can be fulfilled. And I just pray that there'll be seeds today that have been sown that will keep us in that place that is strong, that is safe, and that is God's way. Amen.